There's a man named Michael J. Devlin on the Sex Offender Registry in Utah. The website lists two counts of indecent exposure on his record. Devlin has brownish hair and was born in 1965. There's a man named Michael J. Devlin who's been arrested for taking two Missouri boys from their families. Police believe that he held one boy for 4 days and the other for 4 years. Devlin has brownish hair and was born in 1965. They are not the same person. Yet if you watched television or read internet stories shortly after police announced that the Missouri boys had been found, you would have learned, incorrectly as it turned out, that the Missouri Devlin was a convicted sex offender in Utah. In other words, somebody somewhere made a mistake, and the mistake spread. Which leads us directly into the issue of defamation, including libel and slander, and the concept known as a libel-proof plaintiff. Defamation is a legal wrong. In simplest terms, if Arnold says something that's incorrect about Betsy and the incorrect information harms Betsy's reputation, Betsy can sue Arnold for defamation. The Utah Devlin could have a claim here. Setting aside certain issues, like whether the Utah Devlin would be considered a public figure and whether he'd be able to show malice on the part of the reporters, the attorneys on both sides would likely consider the possibility of the libel-proof plaintiff argument. A libel-proof defendant-turned-plaintiff is one with an extremely lousy reputation to begin with. As one court put it, Adolf Hitler and Charles Manson have such poor reputations, there's nothing left to protect. And if there's no reputation, it can't sustain a defamation action. A court found that James Earl Ray couldn't sue for defamation. Ditto for Bob Guccione. When someone questioned his marital fidelity, a court found that he had no related reputation to protect. But just because you're a criminal or a person who doesn't get invited to the best parties doesn't mean that your reputation isn't worth protecting. Courts consider the nature of the criminal record, say, how long it is, and how much publicity the crimes received. If the plaintiff's reputation isn't all that tarnished, a defamation action could proceed. As one court put it, the libel-proof plaintiff doctrine must be applied with caution, because few plaintiffs will have a reputation which is so awful that they are not entitled to obtain redress. And not all jurisdictions recognize the concept of a libel-proof plaintiff anyway. Instead, they might allow the defamation claim to proceed, but decide that the plaintiff should receive only a small amount in damages. So should Utah's Michael J. Devlin sue for defamation based on a smattering of early reports in the Missouri Devlin case, some court will likely have to decide if two indecent exposure convictions ruin a reputation. I suspect not. And the Missouri Devlin? He'd have a much tougher time arguing that his reputation had been ruined by the initial reports that he was a convicted sex offender. Police claim that he's confessed to certain aspects of the crimes. If so, he could indeed be libel-proof. I'm Amy.